Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode 35. And as always, well, as often, there are three things I want to talk about. The first one is what I'll be working on. There are some cool videos and cool projects that I'll have to work on for next month, for September. And I wanted to explain how I was going to go about them. The second one is more personal. I'm finally moving in with my girlfriend is finally moving in with me, and we're super happy about that. So I wanted to talk about like a little bit of a, let's say, long distance relationship, even though it wasn't really that long of a distance. And the last thing will be the cool thing about Linux, which is your hardware always gets better, and I have the perfect example for that that happened like 2 weeks ago. So let's begin with the channel and the cool projects I'll be working on. So first, I don't know if you saw, I posted it on Mastodon, but I know not everyone uses that. So I had a nice little video chat with Niccolo Venerandi, which is one of the KDE developers. And he works on the plasma panels, the floating panels, and a lot of other stuff on KDE. And so we had a little chat on video on his channel to just talk about Plasma 6, what I knew about it, what was planned, what I thought about a few of the planned features and changes. It was a very chill, very nice conversation. And so I left a link to it in the podcast notes if you haven't watched it. It was very interesting. Basically, he just told me a bunch of stuff that they were working on and asked me my opinion about it, maybe... should they delay the release if it's not ready before the end of the year? Or is double click by default in the file manager a good thing or not? Stuff like that. So we talked about this a little bit and it was very cool. It's like 30, 35 minutes. So it's not like a 2 hour long conversation. It was really cool. So if you want to check that out, it's on Niccolo's channel, either on PeerTube or on YouTube. Now, apart from that, the channel did okay this week. I'll go over pretty quickly on this. The open source software I use video got about 72,000-73,000 views in 4 days. The GNOME extensions video was a bit disappointing. It only got about 33,000 views in 2 days, which is a bit lower than usual. And the news video is doing really well for now, so... It's a good end of August. I'm not sure why the GNOME extensions video didn't work out all that well. I felt it showed some extensions that a lot of people probably did not know about because no one talks about them online, like the FlyPy menu, the Forge tiling extension, stuff like that. So I really thought these were impressive examples of how you can transform or improve the GNOME desktop. But it seems that people didn't really click on the video, so either the thumbnail or the title was not great. People who watched it watched for a shorter duration than usual, so maybe people did know about these extensions after all, or at least people who might be interested in extending GNOME with extensions already had found out about those. So if you watched it, let me know what you thought. I thought it was a pretty good video. I thought I really showcased a bunch of cool stuff, but maybe people already knew about them and so it didn't add anything new. So apart from that, the podcast is performing as usual. The Linux and Open Source News podcast still reaches 2,000, a bit more than 2,000 listens per episode. So that's still really, really good. Now for this week, we might have just two videos, not three. The news video and another one. It depends on how things go. So like I said, my girlfriend finally found a job in Brest, the city where I live, and she'll be moving in with me not this week, but the week after that. And so I have on Monday. So I'll have a bunch of stuff to do for the channel first, because it's going to be invoicing and taxes week and stuff like that. But I will also need to prepare the flat for her arrival, because right now I just... have all my stuff everywhere. I don't have that much stuff, but it's still taking up a sizable amount of space. For example, in the dresser in the bedroom, I'm gonna have to reorganize things and make some space for her. I'm gonna have to free up some space in the office maybe for a few books, stuff like that. So maybe I won't have enough time to do three full videos. I think it's also a perfect occasion to do a full cleaning of the flat, like a deep clean. Or maybe I should wait for after she moves all her stuff in. So maybe this is going to kick up a lot of dust. Maybe I should clean up after. But yeah, maybe I won't have enough time to do 3 full videos. We'll have to see. The one that I will make for certain will be the Why Linux is Better for Developers video. And the one I'm not sure about will be the UK UI desktop. Their website is apparently back online, so I can at least check the most recent screenshots to compare with distros that ship this out of the box and see if I'm actually using the latest version as vanilla as can be. We'll see. If I have enough time, I'll make it. If not, there's only going to be 2 videos. Now, for September, the videos that won between the YouTube votes and the Patreon votes were the Asahi Linux video, the Improving Linux Performance, and the What is on My NAS video. So I sprinkle these all over throughout the month, and I'll get to work on them as the month progresses. The one that will require some advanced preparation is mostly the Asahi Linux video, and also the I Change Setups video, which like that wasn't a one you could vote on. It's something I was planning to do anyway. So for that setup changing video, I received a laptop that I'm planning to use for this. So I will start setting it up tomorrow once I'm done working, writing scripts, recording the Patreon cast and everything. And I will turn this laptop into my main workstation that I will use over the course of the month. I won't touch my previous laptop. I won't touch my editing rig. I will just use this laptop as my entire work environment. And I will conclude at the end of the month, at the end of September, with the final video of the month will be about this. So I'm pretty excited to see how well it holds up for editing on the go and for general day-to-day work. It has 32 gigs of RAM. It has a 4060 with 8 gigs of VRAM. It has a 13th gen Intel i7. I think it's a 13700H. It's got a gigabyte of SSD. It should be really powerful, probably on par or better than my desktop editing PC. So we'll see how well it works. It might also help that it has Wi-Fi 6 because I'm planning to buy a new router this month to improve Wi-Fi in the flat. The router my ISP provided is dreadful. I haven't changed it in 3 years, but I'm getting a bit tired of those really, really bad Wi-Fi signals when I'm not inside the living room. So I'd like to use something that has a bit more punch and actually supports Wi-Fi 6 because Wi-Fi 5 that I have currently for optic fiber, not great. So now for the laptop, I'm not sure what I'm gonna run on it. Do I go with my usual GNOME and Fedora, or do I go with the default Tuxedo OS because it's a Tuxedo PC with KDE, or do I go with NixOS? I would really like to move to KDE when Plasma 6 releases. I'll probably make a bunch of videos about Plasma 6, what changed, maybe even some kind of quick start guide with KDE or a deep guide about KDE covering mostly everything you can do in it, the best apps, the best widgets, all the settings you can tweak, stuff like that. So I want to use KDE, but do I wait until Plasma 6 releases? Or do I jump back on 5.27 so when Plasma 6 releases, I can actually notice the differences a lot more? So if I decide to go for KDE, it basically means I'll have to spend a bit more time setting things up, and it gives me a choice between either Tuxedo OS or NixOS. And I think it's kind of the perfect excuse to start using NixOS as a daily driver. Basically, everything I use seems to be available on NixOS in Nix packages, so it could work really well. So for now, my reasoning is I'm gonna try and set up the laptop with Nix. I'm gonna set up my configuration. I'm going to document everything I've done somewhere in a notes file. And if I encounter a major roadblock that really prevents me from using that laptop on a day-to-day basis, then I'll also note that, and I'll move on to something I know better, so probably Tuxedo OS for KDE, or if I really, really want to use something I'm very familiar with, Fedora and GNOME, and that's going to be enough. But I'm going to start with NixOS and try to really use it as a daily driver. And I think it could actually make the video a bit more interesting, because it's not just going to be Hey, I replaced one laptop and one desktop with another laptop. Here's how I set it up. It could also be, hey, I'm using NixOS as a daily driver, and I'm now replacing both of my devices with this, and I'm moving to KDE. So it's like, here's how I organize KDE, here's how I set up NixOS, and here's how I use the thing. So it's basically a completely new my workflow video, and not just, hey, I tweaked a few things here and there, but I still use the exact same apps and same OS. I think it could be interesting. I will have to see if it doesn't make for a bigger video that, like, the same problem with the immutable distros video where I tried to cram too many things in and so it ended up being subpar. I wouldn't want to do that with this one. So it all depends on how much I have to say, the problems I encountered, and what I have to say about that. Now, what I'm thinking for setting up KDE would be using activities. One activity for when I use the laptop as a laptop with its own set of widgets, maybe probably a very simple experience, no widgets on the desktop, something really basic. And another experience, another activity, completely customized to take advantage of the wide screen that the laptop will be plugged into. Because the goal is to have that laptop used as my laptop, but when I want to edit videos and I'm at home, I plug this in with a Thunderbolt cable to my display, which is connected to my keyboard, to my mouse, to my external hard drive, to my speakers. And so with just one cable, the laptop chargers is connected to all my peripherals. And then I switch to the activity that suits the widescreen display and has maybe more information, more widgets, maybe a different panel setup. If I don't remember if that's supported in activities, but if it is, I could have a different panel setup. Stuff like that. It's kind of interesting, I think, to do it this way. And I think I'll have a lot of fun customizing things because it's been a while since I used KDE. There will also be the interesting part of finding good KDE apps to replace my current GNOME apps, or at least finding a good way to integrate those GNOME apps into KDE. So it's the video and the project I am the most excited for, if you couldn't tell. I can't wait to get started with this, so probably as soon as I'm done recording this, I'm gonna start setting up the laptop and start getting to work on it. So yeah, if you have ideas or remarks about this, if it already feels like it's gonna be a massive video and that I will not be able to cover everything I want to, like, let me know. It's gonna be maybe a massive one. So yeah, I don't want to split it into here's a review of the laptop, here's how I'm using it instead of my stuff, and here is how I'm moving to NixOS if this ends up happening. I would rather have a full workflow video, like, okay, this is the laptop, here's what it does. It's really good and solid, and then, well, I hope it is, actually. I don't know yet, but let's imagine it is, and here's how I'm using it. I want the video to be like this, but I also don't want to skip over a lot of details, so yeah, we'll have to see. Now, as per the Asahi Linux video, I also don't know yet if I will do Asahi and Fedora Asahi in the same video, or if I will cover them separately. It will depend on what I have to say when testing regular Asahi on the Mac Pro. The goal will be to showcase what works in terms of peripherals in the laptop, in the MacBook Pro, what doesn't work, and if it's okay for daily use for at least my use case. And also, while comparing the battery life, the performance, and the general support for everything, for example, is the microphone as good on Asahi Linux as it is on macOS? Does the webcam look as good, or is it like software treatments that aren't available on Linux? Is the battery life the same? Does the display feel the same, or does it feel like, I don't know, washed out, or maybe the color management isn't as good on Linux or whatever? So I want to look at all of this and conclude saying, okay, here's what has been done, here's what's still missing for me personally, if there's anything missing, and so depending on what you need, should you already start using it or not? If that's enough for one script, I won't talk about Fedora Asahi in this video. If it goes over very quickly, then maybe I'll also give a shot to Fedora Asahi and just compare the differences, but from what I can tell, it's basically going to be the exact same hardware support, just not the same desktop and base packages. So probably a more stable OS, but less up-to-date, but all the hardware support will be up-to-date still because it's provided as copper repos. I'm not sure there's enough of a difference for this kind of video, but we'll see. Now, in other stuff, I also noticed that Tuxedo launched a new desktop called the Infinity S. It looks about half as small as the Tuxedo Cube I've used for my current gaming console running SteamOS, but it looks like it has the same performance, and it even has like higher powered AMD GPUs in it, well, that you can add if you want to pay for them. So I'm a bit tempted to ask Tuxedo for a review unit to see if this could also be a solid option for a console, PC, for gaming in the living room. We'll see if I need video topics and ideas. Maybe that could be an interesting one. And also, Starlabs confirmed that they would send me a Starlight Mark V, which is their like Microsoft Surface tablet equivalent with a detachable keyboard, kickstand, and stuff like that. So once it's in production in a few weeks, I should get a review unit and I should be able to cover it on the channel. So I'm pretty happy about that. Okay, now very quickly, I'm just going to talk about moving in with my girlfriend. So as I said before, she will be moving in with me. So it's not this week, but next Monday. So we're very excited about that. She found a job in Brest. She started applying to various job offers just before we left for our vacation at the end of July, beginning of August. And she had interviews right before we left. She got both jobs that she interviewed for. One really didn't feel right to her, but the second one did. And so she decided to accept it while we were on vacation. It's basically the same job she has right now, but with a bit more freedom. She works in a bookshop. I don't know if the term is librarian because she doesn't work in a library. She works in a bookshop. I don't know what the exact job description is in English, but she will have more freedom to organize things as she sees fit. Basically, they had no one to handle the book section of the store. It's like a cultural shop, they call it like that, a cultural space. So you have like vinyls, discs, like electronics, you have books, you have like manga, comics, and video games, stuff like that. And so she will manage the whole book section because they had no one to do that. So she will have a lot of freedom to organize things as she sees fit. That's pretty nice. So we already like measured and counted everything she owns and that she wants to bring over. And yeah, no problems here. Everything she owns should fit nicely in my flat. This was a worry because she has like 900 books and like five or six different shelves to put them on. So yeah, it's gonna require a bit of wall space. But fortunately, I don't have many things myself in my flat. So all the shelves and books will fit perfectly. We measured everything. There will be a lot of room left. It will not like completely fill up every single available space. So that's nice. And so we're really, really excited to finally live together. It's been a year and a half of commuting and only seeing each other one day and two nights per week. And it was not a fun thing. Like if you already experienced, let's say, a long distance, it wasn't that long distance for us because it was like an hour and a half drive. But it's still far enough that it prevents you from going there in the middle of the week and going back to your own place for work the next day. Not easy to do, not quite fun. Me personally, I couldn't quite record videos in her flat because like the sound was just echoey, bouncy, and carrying around all the recording gear, the lights and stuff like that would have been absolutely impractical and not doable. I could have went over a little bit more for editing using the laptop, but yeah, we just never really managed to organize ourselves like that. And yeah, it didn't really work out this way. So it's not super long distance, but it was still pretty annoying and it put a big limit. Like it's a 3 hours drive if you have to go back and forth. It's pretty limiting. It's a barrier. So yeah, we're very happy about this. But I just wanted to talk for a few minutes about like the pressure of this thing because living long distance really was getting hard. Like it put a lot of pressure on the only day we saw each other every week to always try to do something really cool and really new. Like you never wanted to just sit on the couch and watch a show or have like a cocooning day or whatever. Like you always wanted to do something like, let's go eat somewhere, let's go watch a movie, let's go for a walk, let's go. And you never really had the chance to use this rest day because it was our only rest day of the week, basically. We never got a chance to use this rest day to actually rest, which means like we were very, very tired. And it also put a lot of constraints on how and when we could see our friends or our family. Because, like, if my friends are available when she comes over, well, I can't see them. Because, of course, we only see each other one day a week. So we want to spend the day together, not see a lot of other people and not really enjoy our day together. And same thing for seeing our families. Mine, I need to take a plane to go see them. They live at the exact opposite of France. It's like about an hour and a half flight time. Her family lives like a two-hour drive from where she lives right now in Lorient. And it's going to be about an hour drive from Brest. So you always have to make a choice between, okay, if we see each other, then it means that I cannot go to this cool thing that my friends have put together, or I cannot go see my family for a few days. Or it was complicated. It complicated things. It was not insurmountable, but it adds a few barriers here and there. And the worst part of all this is the phone. Like, having to be constantly available on the phone to either call each other or send messages, it meant the phone never stopped buzzing. Because between the group conversations with my friends, which we have like one for everything Warhammer or role-playing game related, we have one for every single friend in the group, which is like 25 people, so it's constantly buzzing, plus the messages from my girlfriend and mine, so my messages to her, it just never stopped buzzing. Like, your phone is always disturbing you. And not answering or muting the friend convo, that's perfectly fine. But for my girlfriend, we never see each other, so I want to talk to her through messages. So yes, I do leave notifications on, and my phone is buzzing constantly as soon as she's done working, or on the weekends, like on Sunday when she didn't work, but we weren't seeing each other. And so it means that even on your, like, your off moments after work and when you can relax, when you can't actually relax because your phone is actually buzzing all the time. You want to have a video gaming session? You cannot play for more than 5 minutes at a time without your phone buzzing. You want to start reading? You cannot read 3 lines or 2 paragraphs without your phone buzzing. It's very problematic for me because I like immersing myself in one activity specifically. And when my phone is constantly buzzing, I feel like I have to answer. Like, we never see each other. I have to answer the messages. If I leave her hanging for like 2 hours, it's not really great. It's not fun. So I feel a pang of guilt if I don't answer. So I do answer pretty fast, but then I have to constantly interrupt everything I'm doing. And it was just so annoying. So this being over is really, really great. Well, it will be over next week, but it's really, really, really cool. And yeah, it's going to be nice to have that over finally. So that's about it. It's just going to simplify both of our lives greatly. We're very excited. Now we'll be together for handling everything that might happen. If the channel dies, if her new job doesn't fit her right and she's not happy, we'll be together to handle that and not separated like by a 3-hour drive back and forth. It's gonna be a lot more fun. So I just wanted to share that with you. You probably don't give a crap and you probably had experiences that were way more complex than mine. But yeah, I still wanted to share. Okay, and the final topic will be the cool thing about Linux, which is going to be summed up as it always gets better when a proprietary system would have made your experience worse over time on the same device. So a few days ago, I started noticing something interesting on my current laptop. Its battery life has greatly improved when the lid is closed and it is being suspended. In use, when I'm actually using the laptop, it didn't really change. It's still about 6 to 8 hours of normal work, depending on what I do and the performance profile I use. But when I close the lid of the laptop, it usually drained a lot overnight. Like, I closed it when I was done at about 10 p.m., and when I opened it back up to resume working at 8 a.m. the next day, about 20% of the battery was gone. So sometimes it was just completely off because the battery was already like at 15 or 20%. And when I opened it the next day, it needed charging because it was dead. That was probably abnormal battery drain, I feel like. But the logs show that the laptop did go into suspend to idle mode, in deep mode, and like it should not have used that much battery, but it did. And this has changed, I'd say maybe last week or 2 weeks ago. Now when I close the lid, overnight it drains about 5 or 6% only. It is still suspending to S2 idle deep, like before, nothing changed in journal CDL, I can see what's happening, and it is still in hybrid graphics mode. That hasn't changed either. So I looked at what had been updated. I got a kernel update, but it was a minor one to kernel 6.4. I am not aware of any big change that might have happened to that. The only other thing I could think of was an update to the NVIDIA drivers. This laptop has a 3050 Ti, and there was indeed an update 2 weeks ago to the NVIDIA drivers. But looking at the release notes, there's nothing about fixing anything related to that either. And yeah, even though I don't know what changed, it did change. And this brings me to the cool thing with Linux. Your system gets better all the time, even if you don't exactly know why, or even if it's just a correction of something that should have been better out of the box. For example, when you use AMD CPUs and GPUs, the number of updates to performance, to battery use, to everything related to that is insane. If you just look at Foronix, like almost every week you've got at least one article saying there's a performance jump planned for an AMD CPU or GPU. Also same stuff for Intel Arc GPUs or even Intel CPUs. It's always small stuff. It's like 1% here, 3% there, but it does add up. And your hardware actually gets better over time just by applying software updates. It's the same for NVIDIA. Since I've started using Linux for the channel, it was like 5.5 years ago, I've mainly been using NVIDIA GPUs. And the performance and the stability of these and the general Linux support for Wayland, for Suspend, for gaming, it has never stopped improving. And that's not something I ever experienced with other operating systems. They do get updates, and they do get performance updates from time to time. But mostly, when you get a major version upgrade, your hardware gets worse. When I used a Mac at work, major OS upgrades either didn't change anything in terms of performance or battery life, or they actually degraded it. Like, newer versions sometimes really gave a big performance hit. Your computer felt slower. On Windows, major updates like a version bump, moving from 8 to 10 or 10 to 11 or like XP to Vista, they make a lot of hardware obsolete, and they really destroy your performance on the same hardware in some cases. In some cases, you'll be fine, but in some other cases, you're gonna lose a lot. On Linux, I get major updates very frequently, like at least every 6 months when I'm on Fedora, for example. And I get new features all the time. And my hardware is used more and more efficiently with each update. And that's something I really appreciate. I have another anecdote from back in the day. I think it was in 2011 when I moved to Paris for my first job. I left my parents my old laptop. It was running, I think, Ubuntu 10.04 or 11.04. It was the first version using the Unity desktop. And it was pretty bad as a laptop. It only had one stick of 1 gig of RAM, it had a one-core CPU, and it had a basic hard drive, not an SSD. When I went back to my parents' house for a vacation about, I think it was 2 years later, because I didn't go see my parents for a long while at that time, because I didn't have any vacation. Then I met someone and we went on vacation together, and for Christmas we went to her parents' house. And so, yeah, basically I didn't see my parents for like 2 years. And when I went back to see them, I got bored one day during the vacation, and I decided to use that old laptop again and try to see if I could run the latest version of Ubuntu on this. I think at the time it might have been 13.10 or 13.04. And so I installed a fresh copy of it, and it ran just as well, or just as badly, depending on how you feel about using really old and slow hardware. But it ran just as well as it did before. And so, yeah, Linux is as software should be. It's not artificially limiting the use of your existing devices to try and sell you a new one because, well, most Linux distros don't really sell any hardware. They don't care. They just let you take advantage of your hardware. And they even improve performance out of your old hardware in a lot of cases. And it might seem like an obvious thing, because it is. It is how software should be. Like, your hardware should not suddenly start getting worse unless it's physical degradation. Software should not make your experience feel worse over time. Unless there's an absolutely big new feature that you're trying to run, but that, yeah, your CPU just cannot run this. But by default, your operating system should not make your hardware feel worse than it was. And Linux never did that for me, which is really, really good. So I just wanted to talk about that. But maybe it feels completely obvious to you. So this will conclude this Patreon cast. If you have any remarks about the GNOME extensions video, why it didn't perform all that well, about the various projects I'm going to be tackling and what's the best approach, about moving in with my girlfriend, about the cool thing about Linux, which is it always improves your hardware even though you didn't buy new stuff, let me know in the comments and I'll be very happy to discuss all of that. So as always, thank you all for supporting the channel. It really means a lot to me, and it really helps paying the bills, especially in the slow months like August. So thank you all, and I guess you will hear me in the next one. Bye!